This is Ozarks at Large. Last weekend, local food, locally grown, locally prepared, had attention from people throughout Northwest Arkansas. Local chefs and local farmers collaborated to provide the food at the Fayetteville Roots Festival, and the city of Bentonville welcomed representatives from the James Beard Foundation. The city and the foundation, named for the renowned American chef, are working together to enhance the city's culinary atmosphere. During their visit, Chris Moon, the director of charitable giving and strategic partnerships with the James Beard Foundation, and Claudia Carnish, the director of house events and membership with the foundation, spent an evening at Crystal Bridges Restaurant 11, met with chefs from throughout Bentonville, and toured the city's farmers market. They also sat down with me at Tusk and Trotter, just off the downtown square, to talk about the James Beard Foundation and the partnership with Bentonville. Chris Moon says such affiliations strengthen the unique culinary culture of a region.
It's a little bit of looking back in time to what this country was back in the day when James Beard was alive and what he was teaching and was a proponent for, which was, you know, what is available, what is seasonal, what is local to where you are, and use that, use it when it's fresh, celebrate it, and you have a great meal. I think you see that now around the country, and chefs have always been about that, but I feel like there's a movement where they've really gotten back to celebrating that. Celebrating what is local to their community and lifting that up as the thing that they do. You know, it's happening right now in Charleston, South Carolina, and they're so into the food culture of what's happening in Charleston. We saw it last night here in Northwest Arkansas, lifting up the local purveyors and the local food, from coffee to the local meats that are harvested here to the produce. You know, it's inherently Northwestern Arkansas.
It's not just about taste either. It's about, you know, trying to change the percentages of where people are getting their food from. You know, that, like, what percentage of people here get their food from a local source as opposed to, you know, a larger source. And that if you're getting a greater percentage of people from a local source, you're not only probably eating better, but you're also supporting your local economy. And that, I think, is a goal for every community nationwide, even New York, you know, where we're from. Everybody wants to support our local farmers. So indirectly, you end up having a healthier population. You're changing your distribution model of how food gets to you, and hopefully you're dealing with broader issues, and people are enjoying their food. And food is a ritualistic experience. It's a sensual experience. It should be one that's experienced communally with your family and with your friends. It's a common language that we all share, and to use that as an expression to develop a community is kind of a no-brainer, for lack of a better phrase.
How can Bentonville and the James Beard Foundation, after this visit, what can happen next, move forward in a partnership?
Well, that's what we talked about all day. I don't know if we can actually say exactly, but yeah, we've been spending a lot of time today thinking exactly about how we can move forward, how we already have a relationship. DBI has incorporated our national membership, which is called Friend Membership, in their membership as a added value component to the membership. So that already exists, and it's nice for Daniel to be able to give us that opportunity to reach out to this region and sort of share what we know with everyone that's out here who's a member, because we have this wonderful facility in New York on West 12th Street where we have 200 chefs a year that come and do these wonderful events, and to be able to share that with people all nationwide is a goal of ours.
Additionally, we are working with Tusk and Trotter on our Serving Up James Beard promotion, which is a fundraising promotion around our Silver Anniversary Scholarship Drive, since we're currently celebrating our 25th anniversary, where they're running a variety of James Beard-inspired menu items on their menu and promoting that $1 from each entree sold is going back to our scholarship drive to support the culinary talent of tomorrow. So those are the ways in which we're already working together. And then this trip is really about looking towards some of those next steps. To have the WOW event last night at Crystal Bridges and have the opportunity to spend a nice amount of time with a food interested local group of people, to kind of talk to them a bit more about who James Beard was, what the James Beard Foundation was started for originally, and what we have done over the last 25 years, as well as where we're going, was a great next step in this partnership to try and spread the message of James Beard Foundation to this local community, so that as we look toward the next steps of this partnership and how we're going to continue to work together, there is a built-in audience here in downtown Bentonville that already understands the importance of the James Beard Foundation on a national level and appreciates the fact that with the help of Downtown Bentonville Inc. that we're able to bring it down to the local level and really have some on-the-ground activations.
I think many listeners know James Beard the person. They're familiar with, if you pick up a cookbook or something, it will mention a James Beard Award winner. But maybe a lot of listeners don't know about the foundation itself and what it does. You mentioned the scholarships and trying to foster the culinary talents of tomorrow. What else would you like to tell people about the foundation?
Sure. Well, I would first say our official mission is to celebrate, nurture, and preserve America's diverse culinary heritage and future. And I like to sum it up quickly for the listeners, that I kind of break that down into five major pillars. We have the Beard House in New York, which serves as a performance space for chefs, also dubbed the Carnegie Hall for chefs, where they come to perform and show their finest. We have the Beard Awards every year, as you mentioned, which are the Oscars of the food industry, which is a 22-year-old program now, which obviously has grown and is really recognized nationally. We have our Culinary Scholarship Program, which was started in 1991 and has now given out over $4 million in culinary scholarships since 1991, which is a huge focus of ours right now. And the last two pillars are more recent initiatives for us. We have a James Beard Foundation Food Conference, which convenes thought leaders in the food system to come together over a two-day conference in October in New York to discuss issues plaguing the food system and brainstorm ways to fix some of those. And in conjunction with that, last year we launched our first ever James Beard Foundation Leadership Awards. So using the idea of how we've given awards over the years, and looking at the need to recognize individuals who are making a significant change for the better within our food system, we gave out our first 10 this past October, our inaugural recipients, and this coming October we'll give out the next round of leadership awards to 5 new recipients, and we'll give five awards going forward. So those are really what I would say that the top line kind of five pillars that we're working within, and of course within each of those pillars there's a variety of other projects, particularly in the world of the sustainability and the food system that we're still rolling out as we look toward the next 25 years as an organization.
Before the conversation ended, I asked both Chris and Claudia 3 more questions. Generally, we put such exchanges on our website as an audio extra, but this time we're sharing the questions and the answers on the air. It's 2 in the morning, you have insomnia, you're hungry, you're at your place, you can have anything. What would you make?
Or eat.
At 2 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
I love figs and cereal. I know that sounds insane, but figs in the middle of the night, I know that sounds ridiculous, is great. Or sauteed baby bok choy with shallots. That's a comfort food for me. If I needed to fall asleep, the mere process of like smelling caramelized shallots and then like a little bit of fish sauce and baby bok choy and then leaving the dishes in the sink for the next morning, yeah, that would be mine.
This is an easy one. It does sound disgusting.
The figs and cereal.
This is an easy one for me. I would eat pepperoni pizza and have a chocolate chip cookie. There's like my two childhood staple junk foods that I just will love until the day that I die.
Is there something that you once thought you would never really like that you've, whether taste buds have matured or you had it a different way, you said, you know what? That's pretty good.
I have an answer for that right now.
Oh.
Last night I had offal that the chef made here, which was not initially something that I would really go for, and it was absolutely delicious. So that's on my list. Here at Tuscan Trotter.
Ah.
Mine's not quite as refined as that, but two things that I had despised for most of my life growing up that I, for some reason, completely love now are pickles and mustard. There are two things that I would not touch before the age of 21, and now there are two of, I just love both of those foods, and I don't know what matured in my taste buds or what changed that, But I just love it. I love pickles and I love mustard now.
Final question. Listener says, I'd like to try to work with something in the kitchen that maybe I've never worked with before that I might be surprised by.
Well, I think maybe this is, it's a little past its prime, but the thing that, the ingredient that I think has experienced a wonderful rebirth, if you will, is Brussels sprouts. And the ability to make Brussels sprouts delicious and easily in your kitchen is incredible. It's like the easiest thing in the world. Slice them, little like, you know, olive oil, salt, pepper, and roast them in the oven for 40 minutes, and they're the most delicious thing ever. So it's one of those things, if you hate it as a kid, it's a good thing to experiment with now, because as long as they're not boiled and out of a can, they're delicious.
Kale was my answer, actually. Shaved raw kale salad with like hazelnuts and feta cheese and onions is a recipe from Marcus Samuelson, which is ridiculously delicious. Sauteed kale with brine from pickled anything is, I was telling the mixologist here that there's a Brooklyn pickling company called Rick's Picks, and they make this pickled green beans called Windy City Wasabi. And it's basically green beans with wasabi, garlic, onions, and the brine. And I ate them all in one day, unfortunately. Sorry to say. Shout out to Rick's Picks in Brooklyn. But I was left with this giant can of pickle juice. And I sauteed kale in it. And it was the most delicious kale I ever made in my life.
Claudia Carnish and Chris Moon are with the James Beard Foundation, based in New York City. They were in Bentonville last week to further a collaboration between the foundation and the city. I met them in between their appointments on Thursday afternoon at the Tuscan Trotter Restaurant in downtown Bentonville.